Flip, 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 Flip Weekly.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Matt from flipweekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. This is a podcast all about reselling. We go to garage sales, thrift stores, we find things on Facebook Marketplace, and we resell online for a profit, or we resell locally for a profit. This week, I've done something I really hate to do. That is, I created some work for myself. Really dislike working. I really dislike finding job lots and putting things together like I did with the Polly Pockets. I'm glad I did because I made a lot of money, but we did something very, very similar this week. Now, you would have seen the title of this podcast, You're Losing Money Because Smart Resellers Never Skip Over Dolls. And look, I'm not a smart reseller. I haven't been a smart reseller. I skipped over dolls for the past 18 months. Whenever I'm in a thrift store and I see the bare naked dolls in the grab bags or laying by themselves, I always skip over it. I don't know why they're always naked. I don't know why they always are donated without clothes on. Are people keeping the clothes? I don't know. I'm always looking over them. Maybe I don't want to feel like a pervert picking up, you know, naked dolls, or I just don't see any value in them whatsoever. So I just naturally skip over them. I'm glad I didn't this week because I found a Facebook Marketplace haul and you are not going to believe the value there. I'm going to tell you all about that. We have some sales. We have an actual PSA, a public service announcement. We have secondhand opinions. We have everything for you this week. Let's just get straight into it because I want to tell you about this deal. Now, this deal was a bit of a gamble. It was 6 p.m. on a Monday night, and I opened up Facebook Marketplace. I was going to do what I usually do with Facebook Marketplace, and that is scroll for hours on end trying to find some sort of interesting listing. You know, there's so many uninspiring listings on Facebook Marketplace that hidden gems, they stick out to me because there's very, very few of them on there on a weeknight. Now, this is something you can do at home too. You know, instead of sitting there doom scrolling on social media, instead of being on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, I said Facebook. No, you want to be on Facebook. Go onto Facebook, click on Facebook Marketplace, set your radius for within maybe like 10 or 12 kilometers or even less if you're not wanting to travel far for a deal, and just fucking scroll. The first like 9 items and then pull the phone up, refresh that page. This is going to tell the Facebook algorithm, at least in my experience, that what you're seeing on Facebook isn't what you want. And they're just going to keep feeding you new and new items. Hopefully you've already set your algorithm so that Facebook knows what you want and that's going to deliver for you. I'm on Facebook and I'm thinking, right, here we go, like another slog, Monday night, not doing anything. Let's just like get to it. Let's try and find something cool. I do this like very often because with anything in life, especially in business, like the more opportunities that you're creating for yourself. And when I say opportunities, that is literally opening up Facebook Marketplace, okay? When you create those opportunities, there's a better chance of getting lucky. And that's all I was doing. And you know what? I did not have to scroll for too long. I honestly think it might have been the first thing that I opened up my phone to. I saw a listing. I would usually skip past this, but it was only a kilometer up the road. It had just been listed like 10 to 15 minutes ago. And it looked clean. It looked like something that I would be able to go. I wouldn't have to like, you know, brush off all this dust or do much cleaning. Although a Facebook moderator later would tell me that I needed to put in some work on this, but I'll talk about that later. It was for Bratz Dolls. The title of the post was Bratz Dolls plus Car and Other Accessories. In the main picture, there was only 2 pictures, by the way. It was a picture of a car and there was maybe 10 to 13 Bratz Dolls. And, you know, I don't know anything about Bratz Dolls. What do I know? The only thing I know about Bratz Dolls is you can remove the feet. That was the novelty back in the early 2000s. I think my sisters had Bratz Dolls. I'm not too sure. And that was the novelty of them. That's all I know about them. To be fair, I have sold a Bratz pillow before and I sort of have the inkling that it's collectible and people sort of go crazy for it. I mean, these are 2 conflicting ideas, right? Like, I don't know anything about them, but at the same time, people go crazy for them. It's fleeting knowledge. It's not even knowledge. It's a very vague understanding that people watched the pillow when I put it live. It took forever to sell, but at the same time, you know, doll collectors. They're a different breed, right? I think it was earlier, was it this year? It feels like a fucking lifetime ago. I sold a Blythe doll for $700 on auction too, that I picked up. I think I paid $5 for it. A Blythe doll, if you're not familiar, I wasn't familiar. It's a doll that has a piece of string in the back of its head, and you pull it back and it changes eye colors. I mean, it has a giant head and a regular body. To me, it just looks like a doll with an oversized head. Now, I sold that for $700 on auction, had insane comps, like comps between $500 and $1,000, and it sold for $700. So I have a very, very brief understanding that older Bratz dolls can fetch a bit of money. And I combine that with that experience of selling the Blythe doll. And I'm thinking, you know, like, doll collectors, they can splash some cash. There is money to be made in this niche. I just have never had the opportunity to jump into it like this. So everything has come together. We have a Bratz listing that is only $20. It was posted 10 minutes ago. It's 1 kilometer up the road. And when I typed in the address, it was literally 3 minutes. A 3 minute drive. I could have walked. Lazy fuck. I drove there. The description on the post was original Bratz dolls from 2003 to 2006, comes with a car and an assortment of accessories. Now again, the picture was just these 10 to 13 dolls. They had clothes on, which is a bonus, and it came with a car. Now I, again, don't know much, so I'm taking a gamble on this. I'm gambling with $20, one of the lowest amounts I've ever bet before. So I'm not doing much. I send a message. Within 5 minutes of sending that message, I'm in the car on the way there. It's 4 minutes up the road. I arrive. It's dark. It's laid out. You know, I probably look like a fucking creep buying this shit. I transfer through $20. Luckily, she wasn't one of those people that says I only accept cash. And when I meet her in the lobby of this apartment building, it's not just like 13 dolls in a car. It's a fucking 50 liter storage container filled with these vintage Bratz dolls. It has clothes, the shoes, the furniture, accessories, fucking everything, right? Like the photo in the listing that just had the dolls like neatly spread out in the car, it barely scratched the surface of what was included in this deal. So I'm looking at this and, you know, I say to her, do you want the container back? Thinking like, please don't say yes, because there are so many loose items in this thing, I'm going to lose them all. She said no. And, you know, I get home, I take this out, and I realize that I've just gotten myself into another Polly Pocket situation. And when I say that, I don't mean that I'm going to be making that much money. I mean, I'm going to have to reverse image search all of these little doll shoes, all of these little like mobile phone accessories, and put them together. You know, we have random bags, we have the shoes, we have fucking necklaces, rings, all these accessories, and they need to be matched up to the dolls. You know, the dolls themselves even need to be identified. And by the way, these fucking dolls, they are not easy to identify. You would think it would be easy. Take a photo of them and reverse image search. No, all the clothes have been changed. The shoes have been changed. The only way to match these up with what the dolls are, it's their face and like the makeup on their face. So like, unlike the Polly Pockets, they developed like the product, the Pollies. They name the product and then they like move on to the next thing, right? But the company that makes Bratz dolls, I'm going to fucking name them because I hate this company now. It's called MGA. They like to develop a product, right? They name it and then they release a ton of slightly different versions of it. So like if I look up an accessory on Google Lens, it'll tell me that it's like a part of a line called Play Sports. So like Bratz Play Sports. So I'm like, okay. That's easy enough. I can just look up Bratz Play Sports, right? Cool, we're done. No, not quite. I'm going to read this to you verbatim. The first edition of the Play Sports line of Bratz dolls debuted in 2005. So that means this line of Bratz Play Sports. Picture just Bratz dolls with playing different sports. Basketball, tennis, and so on. The first edition debuted in 2005. You know what they ended up doing? A second edition came out in 2005 too. Oh, and a third edition, and then a fourth and a fifth in 2006, a sixth and a seventh in 2007, an eighth in 2008, and a ninth in 2009. So now I'm going to need to work out which fucking edition this like basketball belonged to, and the differences between the basketballs or like all the little things is like very minimal. So it's a fucking slog. This is a huge drop lot. It's going to take me hours to figure like what goes with what. And that is not to mention, like I said just a moment ago, the dolls themselves are difficult to identify. So like I take a clear blur-free photo of the face and Google Lens tells me the doll is Jade, for instance, from so-and-so line. So I look up the line and it's completely wrong because that doll has different eye makeup. So what the fuck doll do I have? And I'm not kidding. The difference between some of these dolls is the eyeliner. Do you have any idea how tricky that is for a fucking oaf like me to distinguish between? No, it's not the hair color. It's not like one has a fucking extra arm that's easy to spot. It's that this one has three fucking eyeliner strokes and the other one has four. Do you know how fucking difficult that is? I'm not kidding. I spent the next several hours like staring blankly at these dolls and their accessories, trying to match everything up. I'm thinking like, fuck my life, I hate everything, I hate the world. But at the same time, I'm imagining like this to be some little girl's dream job, right? Playing with dolls, matching clothes and shoes, you know, ripping off feet, like that type of stuff. So I can't hate the world too much. I'm doing every little girl's dream job. So yeah, I dump everything out of this storage container. There's a lot of stuff. There's all of the dolls, all of the accessories, literally like so much shit, okay? And I figure I'm going to like start from the very beginning. I'm going to start with comping up the biggest item, and that's the car. It's the FM Cruiser, the official name of it. So the FM, I'm thinking, what does that stand for? You know, it's not Brat something. It's actually a doll's car that doubles as an FM radio. Now, unfortunately, I don't have any luck getting it to work. The corrosion in the battery compartment is there, and I do everything that I know about battery corrosion. I take to it with some nail polish remover. If that doesn't work, you know, I'm all out of ideas. And no, I'll chuck on like some WD-40. I'll just give it a general clean. I'm not going to take it apart like I have done in the past with things. And you know, that's okay. That's fine that it doesn't work. But we check out the comps for this, and you know, it's not working, but I can see that the comps for the FM Cruiser have a pretty decent sell-through rate, 57% on eBay here in Australia. And I can see comps ranging, including postage, around $70 to $99. So if I can sell this car for $50 to $99, including postage, I'm already in the fucking profit and all I've done is like the car. But you know what? You know what I have that these people don't have? I have the fucking accessories, right? I don't just have the FM Cruiser. I have literally every other accessory that goes with this car, just like it was when it came out of the box. Little tiny shopping bags, the water bottles, the socks, things that would usually get lost over the past 20 years. This person that I bought it from had every single accessory inside this 50-liter storage container. So I'm able to do the reverse. I'm able to look up the car, I'm able to look up what it came with originally, and then I go through the box and I pick out all the little accessories. Now this still takes a while, but it's a bit quicker than individually looking up each fucking accessory that came inside the box. So I'm doing that, I'm working my way backwards, and you know, as I'm slowly getting all the accessories out, I'm thinking, you know, oh, this would be good, I'd be able to sell it with like one or two or three accessories. And then, you know, I'm adding 9, 10, 11 up, and I'm thinking, fuck, if I have like the next 5, I will be able to sell this as complete, albeit not working, but complete. And we all know that when it comes to like these vintage toys, and not saying Bratz is vintage, it's fucking 20 years ago, so it's getting there. Having something complete is incredibly important. So I go through and I find every single fucking accessory. I'm not even kidding. We have like 2 bags. We have fucking license plates. And When you take a close look at the image, I have it on the Flip Weekly newsletter, flipweekly.com. Man, I don't know how some of this shit didn't get lost over the past 20 years, because there are little nail polish. There's these little nail polish accessories where the lid comes off of it. So it's two parts within the... It's two fucking parts. You know, you take the lid off and there's the nail polish lid with the brush and then like the little container part. I don't know how they didn't get lost over the past fucking 20 years. Because I'm sure if I gave this car to my niece, there would be very little left of this within, you know, 24 hours, let alone 24 years. So with all of these accessories, what do? We list it up for more than just the car, but less than the car if it was brand new and boxed. And there's a couple of those, but not too many. So now the listing price, it's not $50 to $99, it's $150. And that's out of just one item on this $20 bundle deal. I'm thinking like, what's next? I'm literally thinking to myself that this might be a nice little $20 into $400 to $500 deal, because, you know, all that's left are the individual dolls and clothes, and there's no other big items like the FM Cruiser. So, you know, what are we going to do? Maybe I could bundle the rest. But let's just go through them to see if there's anything, you know, really cool, really unique. Maybe a Bratz collector wants one of these older dolls. Maybe they've gotten lost over time and there's not many of them left. So I pick up the next doll and I do a Google lens and I work out that her name is Jade. From what I can tell, she's actually quite sought after, not just in a series, but overall, because Jade is one of the four original core Bratz dolls. And, you know, she's identified through her darker hair color. I've come to know some of the Bratz dolls, you know, Jade has this dark hair. Chloe has blonde hair. Yasmin, I think, is one of them. But I've come to realize that Jade is probably the most popular. And if there's any Bratz people listening and they're like, Jade is the most popular, just realize where I'm coming from with this, okay? Like, I'm looking at my listings now and I can see that any Jade listing has more views and watches than the other Bratz dolls. So it's anecdotal, sure, but I'm just pointing that out, okay? So I use Google Lens and it tells me that this is from the Play Sports Teams basketball product line. One of those Play Sports lines I talked about before, where there's fucking like nine series of this. So I'm thinking, all right, we're going to play that game. And I do a Google search just to see what comes up when I search for Jade Play Sports Team Basketball or basketball. I search it on eBay and all I'm getting are like the modern Bratz dolls. So I can see like $37, $45. They all have plenty of watches, some international, some Australia, and you know, $30 to $40. It's pretty boring, and I'm thinking like, oh, this might be like a bundle deal. At the same time, I'm thinking that I haven't found an exact looking Jade doll. I don't see the exact same one. I'm struggling to find anything active or sold listings, but I am 100% certain after doing even more research that it is a figure from the line that came in a two pack called Bratz Play Basketball Teams Jade and Yasmin. So it was a two pack. It was Jade and some other bitch, and they were playing basketball. It came with a basketball hoop, two basketballs, two bags, a trophy, and you know, their get up, whatever they're wearing. And that's when I change up my searches. I check out eBay Active, nothing there, but I go to sold. What do you know? I sold Bratz Basketball Jade doll, the exact same one I have in my hands. Except this one that sold has no fucking clothes. But I can tell it's the exact same Bratz doll because of the listing. And then I like zoom in on her fucking face and I can see that the makeup's all the same. And I know for a fact, this is the doll that I have. Now this one, eBay sold, remember, no clothes, as a sold listing from this year for $220. Just for the doll with no fucking clothes on. So now I'm thinking, well, mine has clothes on. what can I get for that? You know, how much do the clothes add on? That's the exact same doll. Literally the exact same doll that I have. So I dig a bit further and guess what? I find one with clothes. Now, I know for certain this is the same one I have. She has the same bag, same shoes, same socks, literally everything exactly the same. we have the sold comp for Jade, and she's $500 plus postage. And I fucking love that the people that are selling $500 dolls, this is what I've done in the past, have been like, you know what, you're spending $500 on a doll, but I'm still going to make you pay $11.15 in postage. You can't. Fucking love that. So I honestly can't believe it. I'm in disbelief because it's one of those situations where it's just too good to be true. You know, you can't just buy a $20 Bratz bundle and then one of the dolls is worth $500. Like, it's not a thing, right? Like, you don't do that. So I need more data to back up this find. And I decided to branch out a bit, and I looked on eBay for the highest sold listings for quote-unquote Bratz doll. I just wanted to see if this was like a one-off purchase or if there's like a trend when you go through the highest sold Bratz dolls, just to see what is going on within this niche. And what I came to find out was the most expensive sales of all Bratz dolls, when I saw it from highest to lowest, they start at $3,000 and they go down, and they're all from that Play Sports line. So the Bratz Play Sports line, any of these Bratz dolls that are playing sport, besides the modern ones, the older ones, they're all selling for the most money. Now, why? Why are they selling for the most money? I can only tell you my guess, and that's because people that play with dolls, this is so broad and I might be offending people, but people who play with dolls, the little girls that are playing with these, they probably aren't interested in the sports dolls, because maybe in the early 2000s, sports are for boys. Like, maybe. I'm just throwing that out there. So they didn't make many of these. They didn't sell them, so they're rarer now. Could be true. Could be like a complete load of shit. But I'm looking at these dolls and, you know, I'm starting to think, okay, this is like a trend. This is a pattern. We have a sale for almost $3,000, $2,600 for Jade playing tennis. And the one just below that is a character called Leah, and she sold for $2,200. And the one just below that was a two-pack of dolls outside the box. But remember, these Play Sports figures at one point in time were sold as two packs. So this one is Bratz Play Sports Teams Tennis, Jade and Chloe. Just the two dolls. They're wearing their outfits. They have a little tennis racket, albeit just one tennis racket. And that is a sold comp from September this year, the 26th of September, not that fucking long ago. That sold for $2,000 just for these two fucking dolls. I'm not kidding. They only have one tennis racket between them. They don't have any accessories, nothing like that. I'm thinking, in this fucking economy, people are spending $2,000 on two Bratz dolls. Are you fucking kidding me? So once I get over that initial outrage and that shock that people are spending that much money on these dolls, I'm thinking, all right, this is real. This is insane, but it's fucking real. And then it's dawning on me. Like, wait, Matt, that original packaging had two figures in the box. Do we have that figure too? And I look at the fucking dolls that I have, and I'm like, oh, this bitch looks like the bitch from the cardboard. Yes, we have the other doll that went with Jade playing fucking basketball. And then I'm thinking, you know, next logical thing, we have a whole box of accessories. Can we find the basketballs, the bags, the trophy, the hoop that came with it? I'm thinking, like, oh my God, what if we have all of that? We have all the dolls. We have everything that goes with them. Surely we don't have it all. And this is the point in time where you're like, well, Matt, of course you do. Otherwise you wouldn't be saying it. Yes, we have it all. We have the original doll, the original two dolls. They still have their earrings. They still have their headbands, their wrist straps, their fucking socks and shoes. They have the brush, the two bags, the basketball, the fucking hoop. They have everything that was inside of that box. Now, when I said that the original listing photo didn't do it justice, I was not lying, because every single item was in the original retail box, was in this 50-liter storage container. Here's the thing. What is it worth? Because we do not have any sold comps. We do not have any active comps. All we have to go on is just Jade by herself selling for $500. So, you know, that's a good starting price. Now, eBay only gives us access to the past 90 days worth of sold listings. So I jump on over to WorthPoint and I can see that they have some data available, but I'm not paying a fucking monthly subscription to WorthPoint. So I used an alternative, and the alternative is called Evaluar.net. Now, the user interface, the search results, they're not as great as WorthPoint, but it's a free resource. And when you can't afford WorthPoint or you don't want to be using WorthPoint, give this thing a fucking go, because I can go through this website and I can find similar sort of listings that extend past the eBay sold listings for 90 days. And you know what? I can now be confident of what my listing price is going to be. And I swear to God, you're not going to fucking believe what I'm going to list these two dolls up for. Now, before I tell you the listed price, I need to remind you, I paid $20 for this entire bundle. It sounds insane when I'm about to say this listed price, but it's true. And I've already fucking listed up the FM car for $150. We're already in the fucking profit once that thing sells. Now we have this, which is a fucking home run, which I've already turned down like the lowball offers of, and I'm waiting for a full sale price, and it's gonna come. I have listed these two fucking dolls up, complete with their basketball hoops, complete with their basketballs, for an even $1,000. Fucking insane, right? Two dolls, $1,000. I bet these bitches can't even play basketball and they're getting $1,000. Like, I can't fucking believe it. And like I said, I've had lowball offers for this, like a couple of $100. I've turned them down based on the amount of views and the amount of watches and stuff that this has had. I can make a pretty accurate guess that this is going to sell before Christmas time, if not sooner. You know, it hasn't been up for very long and it's already got 266 views. There's 13 people watching it. I just think that this is going to be out the door very, very quickly. It honestly has more views than like the past 10 listings before that combined. I'm not even kidding. So those were the most valuable from the entire bundle, but that doesn't mean that the rest are worthless. Like, I have a combined 16 listings from this Bratz bundle, and they make up a grand total of $2,510. And just in case you fucking forgot, I know you didn't, I spent $20 on a fucking Monday night, 20 into $2,510. I think that's going to be a better ROI than the Polly Pockets if this all goes on to sell, which I'm pretty sure it will, because doll collectors are a bit crazy when they're splashing their cash. So I'm not going to tell you what all of the listings are, but I will tell you that there was a lot of listings where it was the doll plus the original accessories that came with her. And I would say 90% of those dolls are complete, meaning they're exactly as they were when they came out of the box. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Bratz, but back in the day, I don't know if they do it now, they sold individual fashion packs. So I would see like a pair of shoes and I would look up the shoes, and it would, you know, it would be tricky because people would put these shoes on like their dolls and then they'll just like sell that doll, but it didn't go with that fucking doll. So you need to work out the original source. You know, like if you Google lens a pair of pink heels and it's coming up on eBay on like Chloe, on fucking Dana or Yasmin, it's hard to know where it originated from. So you need to keep searching. But I would find out that, you know, eventually it came in one of those individual fashion packs. So there was all these individual fashion packs that back in the day sold with like a pair of shoes, you know, a pair of pants, a handbag and a t-shirt. So we have a whole bunch of them. They're all listed up for like $50 each. We have the dolls. You know, we have like the Rock Angels. You know, I remember seeing the Bratz DVD Rock Angels, which isn't worth that much money, but we have the doll with a guitar and a whole bunch of accessories. We have like a wildlife safari doll. We have some of the dudes too. They're not worth as much, but yeah, I think the most valuable after these basketball chicks, it goes the basketball chicks followed by, it's a safari girl, Fianna, or Fianna, whatever her fucking name is. Wildlife Safari Fianna is a $200 figure. There's another one that's a Megan. I don't know why their names are spelled so fucking weird. She's a $200 figure. There's just a whole lot of $100 to $200 figures here. And yeah, the total listed value, $2,510. If you've read the newsletter, or if you've read the newsletter and you're seeing, you know, there's only 15 listings that I've shown, but I said there were 16 in total. What's the deal? So here's the deal. My fucking attention span was running out towards the end of listing everything up. So I decided what would be fun to do is run a 99-cent no reserve auction for the very last lot. And the very last lot was for a set called Wintertime Wonderland Chill Out Ski Lodge. It wasn't complete. It had crazy comps though. And what it looked like in its original box was a ski lodge where the brats could go and relax and, I guess, chill out, like the title implies. There was a bed. There was like a indoor fireplace. There was all these little accessories, couches, sofas, whatever, blankets, pillows that go with this this set. And the set was extremely popular. It kept popping up on the sold listings when I was searching for brats. Individual pieces from this set have sold in the past for like $30 to $50. The set in total looks like it probably came with like 50 to 100 different pieces. And if you're wanting to buy it brand new on eBay, it's going to set you back just under $1,000. So I was able to work out towards the end, after fucking hours of going through, being like, oh, what does this this like blanket belong to? And then I was able to work out, oh, it's from this set. And then it's like, what is this? Oh, it's a dart. And by the way, think of how difficult this was for me to be doing, like late on a Monday night. I found it like a tiny dart, maybe a centimeter. And I'm thinking, okay, let's work this out. The dart goes with the dartboard. Where does the dartboard go to? And then like you have to Google Lens it, and you come back with like, oh, it went with the Wintertime Wonderland set. But again, it shows up in like all these different listings because people just bundle accessories together and they don't know what they're from. So it's so difficult coming like finding all these accessories and putting them together. So at the very end, when I'm finding all these accessories, I'm like, fuck it. I'm running an auction, 99 cent, but every single piece belonged to this Winterland, Wonderland, whatever the fucking thing was called. So yeah, I had the fireplace, a few chairs, a bed, things like that. And I wasn't sure what it would go for, but I was looking up what's available online. And it got me keen because I can see active listings right now. I can see a listing that is $120 plus fucking $70 for delivery for some reason, with 35 people watching. And it's literally like the bed, the blanket, and two pillows from this set. And I have probably double that amount. And I mean, if you double that listed price, you're in the fours, right? In the $400. So I'm thinking, I want another auction. I want a fun auction. The auctions are so fun. If you get, you know, bids towards the end, you get that dopamine, and I'm wanting to run one. Would I get more if I just chucked up like a buy it now price of like $200? Yeah, probably. I mean, let's be real, you don't get more money with auctions most of the time, but they're fucking fun. So I'm thinking, I'm in the profit. I have two dolls that are going to sell for $1,000. This last bundle's all for fun, so let's just fucking do it, right? And the thing is, as of recording right now, ends in 3 hours' time. So I'm thinking I'm going to jump back on here and do a sort of like a live countdown to see what it ends up as. Again, a reminder, this realistically has a buy it now of what should be around maybe like $200 to $300. As of right now, it's sitting at 98 views, 13 people watching it, 6 bids, and it's up to $16.50. So it has 3 hours and 45 minutes to go. I don't know what it's going to end up as. I'm pretty sure I included, I'm pretty sure the person that buys it has to pay postage, and the postage is within like an Australia Post large box. So it's going to be like $20 on top of the original price. So it's probably like $36 at the moment. Let's see what it goes up to. Oh, and by the way, I still haven't enabled US shipping just yet. So I think these dolls would have sold out, or would have sold much quicker, if I was able to ship to the US. So this is mostly Australian based, and I mean the rest of the world too, besides America. But I haven't had any international sales since turning off US shipping, which is a bit of a surprise because I've shipped fucking everywhere besides the US before. Not too sure why I haven't gotten any since then. But yeah, I'm going to maybe count down from like, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. I'm going to come back on when that happens and we'll be able to see it together. So let's hope it goes for a bit more than $16.50, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really fucking matter. Now, the last thing real quick about these Bratz, because I've talked a bit about Bratz dolls so far. Hopefully this has encouraged you to not overlook Bratz dolls or dolls in general, but there is nothing I hate more than an online moderator that is like drunk on their own power or their perceived power, right? If you've contributed or you've gone on Reddit and you've been active within a community, you'd know that they're so fucking strict with their bullshit rules, right? And that goes for Facebook too, because when I'm listing these up online, I'm not just doing eBay, I'm doing Marketplace, but I'm also listing within Facebook groups. So you have to join the group, you have to pretend that you're a part of the community, or at least you're at least going to, you know, at least be a normal person, right? So I join a Bratz group and I get accepted. I write in a little introduction that I'm here to sell Bratz dolls because I've just come across a huge collection, blah, blah, blah. And take the photos, you know, I'm using my eBay photos, and I write the names of the Bratz dolls on the image along with their prices, exactly what I've done with Polly Pockets before, because sometimes people see the doll or see what you're selling, but they can't match it up with the description because, I don't know, they're fucking retarded or something, right? So I list that up, and within like 5 minutes, the person that is the admin, the moderator of this fucking group, has written a comment and they've said, quote unquote, "The preferred method of sales posts is to list them all in the comments section along with the price and any faults. Can you adjust your post, please?" First of all, I'm thinking like, that's not that bad of a request. There's no reason why I can't just do what I've done. Like, people can look at the photos and they can instantly see the title of it and the price. Like, what's the difference between that and writing it in the comments? Like, people can see it. But the thing she said next, my reaction probably almost got me fucking banned from the group. But she said, and I quote, "Give their hair a little bit of a brush." Give their hair a little bit of a brush. Are you fucking serious? I am thinking, this cunt cannot be for real. You want me to like take all these fucking dolls out? There's like 14 or 15 different photos there, and give their hair a bit of a brush? I'm not fucking brushing their hair. You want me to fucking read them a bedtime story next? This is not happening. I don't know if that post has been taken down from that Bratz group at the moment, but they're just fucking Bratz dolls. Chill out. Moving on, because that has been a lot of Bratz talk. I can't believe that I've spent like 45 minutes talking about fucking Bratz dolls. I think we're going to need to edit some of that down. But after this, we have another cool Facebook Marketplace pickup. And again, this is a reminder to you that I talked all about my fucking exact Facebook Marketplace strategy in the Flip Weekly newsletter, and I expanded on it on the podcast here. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go back and give it a listen. And don't worry, there's thrift store scores and op shop finds a bit later on. But I need to talk about this because this return is going to be huge. So I'm on Facebook Marketplace and I'm doing my scroll and I'm doing my thing, and something pops up and I saw that it was listed 14 minutes ago. It was an Olympus Stylus 1 camera. Now, I don't know too much about cameras, but I know that they sell for a lot of money if they're good, like digital cameras, you know? I can see the box, I can see that the camera's on top of it, and it looks like an expensive camera. And for somebody that doesn't know much about cameras, looks is all I go on. Like, what's the lens look like? Does it look like if I bought this in store, it was going to be worth a bit of money? And this one ticked all those boxes, and it was only $50 and about 15 minutes up the road. Now, the thing is, you need to be wary, or at least I'm wary, when I see items that are priced lower than what I think it's worth. Because what you want to be buying, what you want to be snagging, the things that you can resell, not items that like other resellers have bought and regret, or they're not working, whatever. So it's not unusual to see like a video game console or like a DVD VHS combo with like a very low price. But there's red flags that I try and avoid. And this is what I'm like mentally checking through in the very few minutes that I'm like making a decision on it. So A red flag for me, for example, is untested, because untested to me is like a reseller term. So if someone is cleaning out their garage, which is what I want to be buying, they would usually say something like, "Oh, it worked the last time I used it," or similar to that. You know, industry keywords I'm going to try and avoid, like untested. So that didn't feature in this listing. Now, if it's only $10 and it was listed days or weeks ago, it's probably best to skip it. Most of us resellers would be on it in like the first few minutes. So it means if it's still there, it's scrap, or it's there's something that we're missing. So this was $50, only listed like 14 minutes ago. So, you know, tick that, hasn't been sitting there for weeks. And the next thing is professional photos. They're not for me, right? Like, I can't remember who it was that said that the messier, the better, but it can ring true. So, like, I know that most people, they don't want to take a shit photo, right? Most people will try and take a good photo, but if it looks like that it's set up in some sort of permanent workspace, you know, it's like a light box or that it's all white, or, you know, it's like a permanent workspace, that's, I'm not going to be getting the best deal, or at least I don't think I'm going to be getting the best deal. So I'm going to like skip out on that. So this was taking what looked to be on their floor. There was only two photos and they were really bad photos, to be honest. So it's like it's a green flag for me. It's not a red flag. And the last one is like their feedback in their reviews, because my ideal Facebook Marketplace seller, like I said before, is somebody who doesn't do it often and are cleaning out their garage or cleaning out their room on a weekend. Because like, how often can you clean out your garage? If it's me, it's like every fucking 5 years. And if you have like 100 reviews, chances are you're like a reseller or someone who makes money doing something like this. Because again, you're not cleaning out your fucking garage that often. So the less feedback, the better for me. And I do want a profile picture, and this person did have one. So all of these things are positives for me. So with all of that said, this is the deal for it. I went out there, it was a sweet old lady, no feedback on Marketplace, full Facebook profile, willing to meet me at her house, about 15 minutes away from me. We had a chat, and it just turns out this was a gift from someone and she didn't use it. She had no idea if it works or how it even operates, but she was happy to let it go for $50. And all of that is good enough for me, because when I look up the comps, we have comps ranging from $500 to $700. Some of these are international comps. Some of them have more accessories than other, you know, it's their cameras. Some of them have different lenses. But looking at this, I think that I should be able to list this up for $500. So that's a $50 Facebook Marketplace purchase into $500. The thing is, we don't know if it works, right? So I get back to the car, and the reason I tested it out in the car is because I had an idea for a piece of content. I probably shouldn't be saying this because someone's going to steal it, or maybe it's been done in the past, but I wanted to go straight from Facebook Marketplace, make sure it works, and go straight to a pawn shop and like pawn it and see if we can make money straight away. Like if this is worth $500, I can get it for $50 and it works, I might be able to get like $200 from a pawnbroker, and you know, that's instant profit. I was gonna do that, but unfortunately in the car, I try and turn it on, didn't work. It came with two original batteries, like Olympus batteries. I tried both of them out, none of them worked. And you know, I'm a tiny bit concerned, you know, not too much, because I'm confident in the buy just based on my conversation with the person. And, you know, I'm trusting in my gut too. Like I had a gut feeling this was going to be okay. And at the same time, at the end of the day, it's fucking $50. I would be more annoyed about going out of my way 15 minutes there, 15 minutes back. But yeah, I'm hopeful. The camera's in great condition. It honestly looks like it's never been used before. And in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, well, they're probably old as fuck batteries. Let's just buy a new battery and get it to work. So that's what I did. I went onto a website called BetterBat, and I ordered a brand new charger, a brand new battery for it. And it cost me just under $50 free delivery. I think it was like $48. So I'm in this camera for now about $98, about $100. I'm happy with that, because if I sell it for $500, there's still so much profit in that for me. So they arrive a couple of days later. I try out the battery. What do you know? It fucking works. It turns on. All the little buttons work. I can zoom in. I test it out on my balcony. I'm like, how zoomed in can this go? And I'm going down my street. I'm like, all right, pretty fucking far. I felt like a creep doing it too, by the way. But what's even cooler is I used the old batteries on this new charger, and those old batteries charged up. So I guess they were just, you know, dead from sitting around forever. Not inside the camera too, which is good. So now we have three batteries that go with this camera. We have the original box, we have the charger, we have all the instruction manuals, the CDs and all that sort of shit that goes with the box. And I can chuck this up on eBay for $500. If you've sold cameras before, they seem to go out the door really quickly. So I'm excited for this to sell. I'm hoping that it'll be quick. We can get a quick turnaround, 100 into 500 bucks after fees, after shipping, all that sort of shit. We should walk away with like between $3 and $350, right? So I'm going to make a profit. And again, like these first two are all Facebook Marketplace. If you're not looking on Facebook Marketplace on the weekends, then you are losing out on money. And if you're skipping over dolls, if you're skipping over cameras, I guarantee you are leaving money on the table. Now, a few other items that I picked up this week, I was in Savers and, you know, kids media section. I'm automatically inclined to see Wiggles and comp Wiggles, and I found a Wiggles VHS, which was Sanders Rocking. I look it up on eBay. It has a fucking 200% sell-through rate here in Australia. I'm thinking, did my social media video about the Wiggles that was picked up by mainstream media that reached a lot of people, did that not tell Savers and thrift stores about the Wiggles enough? They're still putting this out there. So I picked that up for like a couple of bucks, and it has a $90 sale price. So I just listed mine up for that amount of money, and it's probably going to sell for that amount of money. So the Wiggles VHS, I've harped on it enough, and it doesn't excite me, but a $90 sale price is still good. So always be comping out your Wiggles VHS. In that same section, in the kids DVD section, there was a Asterix Gold Edition DVD. It contained like 8 different Asterix movies. I talked about Asterix last week with the books that I found, Asterix and Obelisk. There was this DVD, $7, a huge collector's market for this, and it sells every day for about $80 plus shipping. So that's around a $90 to $100 if you're being a bit generous DVD there. Just always be checking out your Asterix and Tintin too. You know, I put them in the same market. But continuing on with DVDs, you know, I'm going through these quickly. There was E Street Collection 1 that I found in a Salvos for $15, and it had a pretty low sell-through rate, but there wasn't many listed. Old 80s Australian soap, and I decided to undercut everyone. I chucked mine up for $115. It should be out the door first, but if you find E Street anywhere in a thrift store, make sure you pick it up, because it's a box set. You can usually get over $100. They sold comps of this TV show for $120, $150. So check that out. It was Collection 1, which featured like the first 100 episodes. And I can't see any active or sold for like a Collection 2 or a Collection 3. Who knows how much that would sell for? But yeah, if you're out in the thrift and you see Collection 1, 2, or 3, I don't even know what they go up to be honest, 4 or 5, whatever. Buy them, because I imagine if you have the whole collection, you can, you know, list it up for a huge, huge premium. And I don't know anything about this show, by the way. It's a soap opera, so maybe it was before Home and Away or Neighbours. It's one of those type of shows. But yeah, keep an eye out for that. The other thing that I found in a Vinnie's was something that I love to find, and it's a fucking sports jersey. I love to buy sports jerseys just because they're so quick. Sellers actually sold one today, but this was an AFL Collingwood Magpies jersey, and I just want to talk about this real quick, because when I'm looking at the jerseys, I'm looking for anything that indicates that it's like a bit different than a regular jersey, or if it has the GPS pouch, and this had both. So when I looked at closer at the AFL logo on the front of this jersey, it had like a different colored AFL logo, and it had a gold filler with the text AFL Premiers 2010. So having that year helps date the jersey, and we can jump onto one of those like sports jerseys through the years websites, and we can see exactly what this jersey is. And I match it up. I go against the images on the website. I can see it's a 2011 away jersey. So it was used for only 5 matches throughout the season. So when you're finding jerseys, ideally you don't want like a generic jersey. If it's just their colors and there's nothing special about it, it's probably the most popular and doesn't sell for much money. But when you start introducing like special rounds or special themes for the team, that's when you get higher sale prices. So, you know, I know with Australian sports, sometimes we have Indigenous rounds, those jerseys, because they're only played for one game throughout the entire season, they sell for more money. The AFL, I think, also has a Pride round. I don't know if they do rainbows on their jerseys, but that's probably one that sells for more money. So this was the away jersey. It wasn't their normal home jersey. It was the away one. It had the special like gold on the thing. It also had the GPS pouch. The thing is, it didn't have a number on the back. The number usually indicates that it belonged to the player. I mean, the GPS pouch usually indicates that it belongs to a player, because when they're on the field, they wear the GPS pouch, so it tracks their movements. But it didn't have the player, so I wasn't 100% sure if it was ever a player issued jersey. So we look on eBay, and what do we see? We see a regular 2011 jersey and a player issued jersey. We sort of have to price it in between those, right? So the regular jersey sells for 110 plus shipping, and the player issued jersey sells for 350. So I'm hoping for a quick sale. So I sort of split the difference. I listed up for $150 on eBay, $100 on Facebook Marketplace, and it's already gotten like 68 views on eBay. So I'm pretty sure it's going to sell quickly, and it'll be good to get that out the door. But yeah, I'm always loving finding jerseys. It's one of the first things I look for if I go to the clothes rack, or if you're in Savers checking out the activewear section, that's where they're usually put. And I'm always buying them. You can get them pretty cheap. I think I paid $12 for this. I can't remember. It was like either $12 or $15. And I just knew that I'd be able to sell it quickly, either on Facebook or eBay. So the thing is, when I get the jerseys, the one that I sold today, I don't think I talked about. I found it in a Save the Children's op shop, and I paid $15. And I knew that I'd be able to flip it on Marketplace for like at least $50. That's usually the going rate, providing it's not a kid's jersey. And that's what I did. I chucked it up for $50 and somebody bought it today. I didn't even chuck it on eBay. You know, I just put it on Facebook Marketplace, and there's so many jersey collectors around that they just bought it and I didn't have to deal with eBay. So that's everything that I bought this week, or at least enough that I want to talk about. There might be a few more in the newsletter if you want to check that out at flipweekly.com. But at this point in time, I think we should move on to what I sold. First thing I sold is something that's having a resurgence and something you need to be picking up. I didn't actually talk about this at all on Flip Weekly because I had bought something similar maybe a week or two before. But I sold the Animorphs books series number 1 to number 30 on a best offer for $275. Now, I picked these up back in August. It was August 5th. And I spent a grand total of $20 on them, like not much at all. The attraction was really that they were just 1 to 30. We didn't have to mess around with like missing numbers. We could just say that the set was in sequential order. And that's, you know, that's good enough for me, because, and that's good enough for collectors, because who wants to collect books in like number 5, 18, 23, when you can just ignore all that shit, buy this set number 1 to 30, and focus on what comes after that. So that's what I did, sold for $275. And I think after talking to somebody else in the reselling niche, talking to Sophie on Instagram from Soph's Flippin' Mad, that's Soph's underscore Flippin' underscore Mad. She has some cool finds from op shops and thrift stores. She had sold an Animorphs bundle too. And I sent a message. I was like, I wonder if they're going viral somewhere, because at that time I had two watches added to one of my listings. And then I sold this 1 to 30 book. And she said the same thing. She was like, her other listings for Animorphs got a heap of eyes on them all of a sudden. And then I looked it up, and I think Animorphs are being re-released, but with new covers. There was some sort of announcement the other week. So Animorphs is just like coming back into, like, is that a thing to say, like the cultural zeitgeist? Is that the fucking right way to say that word? I think it's coming back a bit. She also pointed out after I said that the bundle on one of her wish lists had sold that same day for $200, and she had a bundle of 20 listed up for $99, and she increased it to $175. So if you have any Animorphs, check out your listings, maybe increase the price, or just be ready to ship those out. And if you find any in the wild, you find any on Facebook Marketplace, might be worth picking up if they are going to be doing something again with Animorphs. It's often overlooked for Goosebumps, but it has just as a big collector's market. And I swear I've gone through the sell-through rate with Animorphs before, and it's like on par with Goosebumps. And if you find the whole collection, it's like on par again with Goosebumps too. So keep an eye out for it. And like I said, I found this for fucking $20 on Facebook Marketplace. I sold it for $275. So it's a no-brainer to be buying it. Next thing that I sold was a board game called Orlog. It is an Assassin's Creed board game. It sold for $100. Paid just $9 for it in a Savers. And the thing is, like with board games, they're a gamble no matter where you buy them, really. Unless they're factory sealed, they're a gamble. Because most would be sticky tape shut. And you just have to take the chance that all of the pieces are inside, right? Like, if it's a game meant for children, the odds of finding every little small piece, like, goes down. But for a game like this, for an Assassin's Creed dice game, it's just think of a Venn diagram showing the people that would buy this game. It'd sort of be like gamers and collectors. And both of those sort of categories of people are usually pretty good with keeping things intact, right? So yeah, it's an Assassin's Creed board game, hugely popular video game. I'm actually thinking about buying the new one. I think it's called Assassin's Creed Shadows because it's currently on sale in the PlayStation store for $65. And I haven't played a video game, I haven't bought a video game in fucking forever. So I think, you know, PlayStation is just sitting there collecting dust as a fucking like a $1,000 video game system. Should probably be using it for something. I'm thinking about buying that, yeah. But anyway, hugely popular video game. It just like caught my eye in the board game section, the way the video games would catch your eye in any sort of op shop. And priced at $9, it had very few copies available on eBay Australia. I just had another look up and there's only one right now, yet there's multiple sold. So it gives it a high sell through rate. And it was out the door in 60 days and a profit of like, I don't know, it sold for $100. Profit of what, like $60, maybe 70? So that was a good sale and yeah, 60 days sell through rate. Now, something else that I didn't talk about was something I found last week and I didn't know really what I was doing with this. So I thought, I'm just going to like let it be, I'll let it sit, and let's see what happens. So last week, in the section of the thrift store that has like the binders and the folders, I found like this, what looked to be like a leather book, and I pulled it out and it was a stamp book. And opening it up, I could see like pages of stamps from all different countries. And it was called something like the Globe Stamp Album. And there wasn't really any comps. I could see one that was on auction. It sold for $99 on bid, 14 bids. But the thing is, like, when I opened it up, okay, horrible condition, tattered pages. I dated this maybe like the 50s or the 60s. It just had pages of fucking stamps. And it was every single country in the world at that time, you know, Australia, whatever comes after that in the B's, Belgium, the C's, China. Oh, let's see how long we can do this. D's, Denmark, E, Estonia, F, fuck, France, G, Greece, H, Hungary, I, Italy. Fuck this. Okay. So I was going through the pages. I don't know anything about stamps. The price on this was like $10. I'm thinking, why was it in the binder section? And I get to the G's in the book and I see a fucking Hitler stamp. There's a couple of Hitler stamps. Look, I don't know anything about stamps, but I'm thinking this stamp must have been produced when he was seen in a positive light for the country, right? Like, they're not going to be producing a Hitler stamp like fucking 10, 15 years after the war, right? Like, they're not going to honor this man with a stamp. So that, like, it mentally dates the book. And again, not knowing anything about stamps, I'm like, well, surely this is worth something. Something to someone. And when comping it up, like I said, there was one there, $99 on bid. You can't tell if you have similar or same stamps. And when it comes to stamps, somebody might have bought this stamp album for one stamp. I don't fucking know. And I'm not going to go through and comp each and every single stamp. I don't know enough about it. It would have been cool to take this to somebody I know, and not somebody I know, I don't know fucking anybody that knows stamps, but take it to somebody that could be like, well, this is a rare stamp, this could sell for $99. Anyway, I bought it just for a bit of fun, and I put it up for auction just like this other person did. And again, the books are completely different. They all have different stamps. I don't know what the end price is going to be, but yeah, for a bit of fun, 99 cents. And I decided to do free shipping too, because why not? Unfortunately, it didn't get any real traction. It ended up selling for $33. I mean, would I have made any money on that? I might have made like $2 or $3, but the price doesn't really bother me. It's just a lesson in stamps, or at least not so much a lesson, but just one more thing to know about stamps. Because I learned one thing. I did learn one thing. For a book like this, for like this international book album, here's what happens, or here's at least what I believe happens, just from doing a tiny bit of research online. People buy these collector's books, and then they buy the cheapest row of stamps they can find to fill the book. So as a result, the book ends up becoming filled with like mass manufactured, popular, cheap stamps, and none of them would be rare or sought after now because, you know, everyone had them back in the day. Like, that makes sense. It makes sense to me. So if you were to ask me now, like, well, Matt, what stamp should I be looking out for? I'd be like, I have no fucking idea. Whatever the opposite is of like a book filled with them, that would be my answer. Either way, regardless, bit of a fucking sinister find with those German stamps, right? You can see photos of it on the Flip Weekly newsletter if you want to see what they look like. But yeah, it's interesting. Now, the next thing that sold, it was a $6 into $120 sale. Now, when I was putting these up, I just reminded me of something. Like, did you ever see those videos of like the soon-to-be new dads that were like playing around with prams, and they're really impressed with all the different features and how quickly it collapses and like all the different gadgets and nifty things on the pram? And then the wife or whatever is like, they're excited now, but just wait until they see the price. That is how I imagine parents are when they see their kid enjoying Ben 10, because it's all lovely and cute until they see the price of the fucking toys, when they need to buy their kid a plush toy from their new favorite show. Because I've sold these two plush toys for a combined $120. So Ben 10 continues to be a fucking television show that needs to be inspected when you find their merchandise, whether it's an action figure, a plush toy, anything else similar like that. The show only ran for 3 seasons. Which is a surprise given how popular it seems to be in retail, or at least in thrift stores or in pop culture. Comp up everything you see that's Ben 10, just like I did with these plush toys. They cost me $6 in total. We have that sale for $120. And just a quick note on Ben 10, I'm going to give you a tip on this fucking show. One of the plushes that I sold, it was a blue guy with wings, an alien with wings. His name is Big Chill. And Big Chill is one of the reasons why this plush set sold for so much money. He is the one you want to be finding when it comes to action figures, especially if he has the wings, because sometimes the wings detach and get lost. But if this figure is complete, you can sell him on eBay for close to $1,000. I'm looking at comps right now for the action figure of Big Chill with his wings, sale price of $999. There's another one just below that within Australia. It sold for $590. And there's one without the wings that sold for $350. So when you hear Ben 10, think big wings, think Big Chill, and then think big money. Did you like that? We've got secondhand opinions now, and what comes with secondhand opinions this week is a PSA, a public service announcement. Now, this is a public service announcement for any reseller that deals in plush toys. So earlier this week, I received a message from Andrew, who is a YouTube reseller that goes by Foulmouth Flipper. So Andrew hit me up. He goes to markets, he goes to thrift stores every week, puts up some good videos, and he came across a whole bunch of fake Jellycat plush toys, and he wanted to basically spread the message. And you can watch him confront a very nervous market seller in his latest YouTube video, but here's what he had to say. He said there's a bunch of fake Jellycats that are making the rounds. At the moment, they're new with the tag and they're really hard to tell the difference between these fake ones and what a real one is. They're hard to spot. These things are coming up on eBay, they're at markets, they're showing up on Facebook Marketplace, and I've noticed since filming that episode that I'm starting to see them drip slowly into the op shops as well because people can't get them or they can't move them and then they just donate because they don't want to chuck them out. Now, we thank Andrew for that PSA, and if you're unfamiliar, Jellycats, they're basically like a premium plush toy, and resellers love them because you can get good money for them. And I mean, if you're wanting to buy them here in Australia, you would find them in David Jones. That should give you a pretty good indication of the price of these things. And like anything that is trendy or like sells for a lot of money, the fakes have started to show up in the wild. And I mean, I went on to David Jones to see the price of what a Jellycat is. You can get like a plush toy of a turtle who's ice skating for $130. So you can imagine if you're in a thrift store or an op shop and you see one of these for $3 to $4, which is like the usual price for plush toys, right? You're going to be so excited to think you can flip this for like $130. Now, I have never found one in the wild before. I really, to be honest, haven't looked for them, but they're identifiable through what I've heard is like they're really, really soft materials, like really detailed craftsmanship on the plush toys. And like, you know, high-end clothes and shit, their tags, like, you know, t-shirts and stuff have their wash tags. Jellycats also have their tags. So when Andrew was at the markets, he came across like a full table of what appeared to be these genuine Jellycat plush toys. And they passed the initial eye test. You know, they had their detailed tags. They had like their perceived quality. But over time and over looking at them for like a period of time, the cracks, they started to appear because the names on the tags were different to what the item actually was. And when you're buying high quality items, premium items, they're not going to get that shit wrong. So I recommend checking out the video if you want to see more about it. You'll be able to see Andrew confront this market seller. You'll be able to see other people, including Andrew, buying these toys, spending hundreds of dollars, and then realizing a bit later on, oh, these are all fake. And you'll be able to see the confrontation at the market. It's really interesting to see the quality on these items too. You know, they had all those tags. They had everything that appeared genuine, but there were those little cracks. And, you know, he is right. You can go on overseas sort of business-to-business websites and you can find fake Jellycats. I looked them up myself. I went to the websites that I go to when I'm trying to find manufacturers overseas, and you can buy these Jellycat fakes for about $2 a pop, and that's landed within Australia. They look real, they have their tags, but there's always going to be that identifiers that they're not real. And look, I don't know enough about the brand to go into too much detail, but this is just that PSA. Just be aware and know that if something seems too good to be true, it usually is. Apart from, of course, finding $2,500 worth of Bratz dolls on Facebook Marketplace for $20. But that brings me to this week's secondhand opinions question. And that is, have you ever bought or sold something that later turned out to be fake? Please vote in the poll. Write in if you have any interesting stories or examples. You can get in touch at matt@flipweekly.com. That's Matt with one T. Also, an emphasis on interesting stories, please. But that's all I've got for you this week. Let's hope the upcoming week brings us some more huge deals. Let's hope the garage sales are killer on the weekend. Enjoy them. I'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening. What's up, guys? I'm coming at you at the end of Flip Weekly's podcast, just as the auction is coming to an end. It is now late at night, and I've been editing for a while. It is almost 10 p.m., and there's 3 minutes and 23 seconds left in the auction. We have 16 people watching, 33 people viewed, and we're going to see if there's going to be a huge influx of bids. It's at $16.50, $23.30 postage, so adding that up, it's what, like $40? It's a lot of money to be spending on accessories for a doll, but at the same time, we have those sold comps of $2,000 for two dolls. So who knows where this is going to end up. I'm hoping to get that little influx of bids towards the end. Otherwise, this probably won't even be added on to the end of the podcast. But if you want to see photos of everything that's included in the set, go to flipweekly.com. You can see it in the newsletter. So we have 2.5 minutes left. This night's really gotten away from me. I feel like daylight savings has just like fucked me and fucked everyone else. It feels like the mornings are going really fast. The nights are going fast. And then, bedtime's going fast too. So, we have 2 minutes left. 33 viewed in the last 24 hours. This should be a buy it now price of at least $200, I think. I would probably sit on it for a while. But I think with auctions, you don't get the best price. I'm going to turn on my audio on my phone so you can hear any bids coming in. Hopefully, we can hear a bid coming in. We have about 100 seconds left. Maybe not the best time to be ending the auction at 9:54 p.m. on a random weeknight. And at the same time, probably not the best idea to not be selling to America, one of the biggest markets for Australians to be selling. But whatever, that's how it goes. They're still at $16.50, 1 minute and 10 seconds left. This is probably what it feels like to be on Whatnot, which is what a lot of eBay Australian sellers have been doing at the moment, is jumping onto Whatnot. The whole reseller atmosphere, the whole reseller sphere is talking about Whatnot at the moment. I'll never do it because you have to stand in front of a camera and hawk your shit, and most of the time it ends up less than what it would sell for on eBay, and who wants to do that? But we have 45 seconds left. It's at $16.50. We have no more bids, and it's looking like it's going to end at $16.50, which is not ideal, but at the same time, we're not too worried because we have $1,000 dolls which are going to be selling, and nobody has probably made it this far in the podcast to be caring about this auction. But we've got 20 seconds left, $16.50, $23 in postage, total about 40-ish bucks. 10 seconds left, no more bids, $16.50. Can we break $20? I don't think so. 2 seconds, 1 second. Oh, we've just broken $20. $20.50 is the final sale price. We've made $20 from a starting bid of 99 cents. You can just hear the ka-ching there. We've just made $20. This is what it must feel like to be. This is what it feels like to be Matt reselling like 18 months ago. Congratulations, you've made fucking $20. And I have to trek over to the post office, wait in line for fucking an hour just to make $20. And after fees, what do you make after fees? Like 10 cents, 20 cents? Fucking nothing. So I guess thanks for tuning into that auction. It wasn't that exciting. We had one bid. Then we had one person watching me like, yeah, I could chuck $20 on this. I wouldn't be surprised to see this relisted on eBay with a buy it now price in the fucking hundreds of dollars. I guess this goes to show, if you know your niche well and you can just jump onto auctions and bid on this sort of stuff and make some money, right? Like, this is a good way to make money. This is the second ending of the Flip Weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. This has been a really horrible auction, really horrible night. I'll just go jump down the stairs and I'll see you again next week.
Flip, 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 flip,